You're listening to the teaching ministry of Michael Williams, pastor of International Outreach Church, located in Wills Point, Texas. Get ready to be challenged, charged, and changed by the Word of God, which you're about to receive.
Okay, well, we're going to get back on the series on finances. So we're teaching on, boy, this is so good. You're going to love this one. We're teaching on borrowing and cosigning. Hallelujah. I knew you'd be excited about that. We've talked about God's will is prosperity. He wants your attitude right. We've talked about God's number one way to prosper in you, which is work. We talked about diligence in your work. We talked about budgeting, saving, out of the Bible. Now, this is just out of the Bible. Everybody say Bible. You know, we haven't got real technical here. I'm not giving you a bunch of how-tos and a bunch of modern-day formulas for success. We're just going through what the Scripture says. The good news is, when you see in the Bible where it says something, you know, like budgeting and savings and so on and so forth, you can do that, or God would not say that. And the good news is that God will help you do that. You're not on your own. So before you throw your hands up, before you give up, and before you feel condemned, no, take heart. Hallelujah. God's trying to help you. He's just trying to bless you. He'll help you be the best you can be. No doubt about it. He'll help you get out of debt. He won't help you get in debt. You really don't need his help for that. You can do that all by yourself. But he'll help you get out of debt. Amen. So if you're out there and you're in debt, this message is for you. If you're out there and you're out of debt, this message is for you. Amen. Make sense? So it's good for you. You need it. It's the Word. Amen. We need the Scripture. We need to not just base our life on principles that people teach and people share, but we need to base our lives on principles that are in the Bible. And if people teach and preach those principles, then that's great. And I would submit to you that most success seminars and so on and so forth and positive attitude, believe in yourself type conventions, the principles that work that they preach are actually biblical principles, and that's why they work. The difference is between us and them is they don't give God the credit, we do. And they don't source it with the Scripture, and we do. But when the Bible, you know, when we talk about believing in yourself and the world talks about believing in yourself, well, the Bible tells you to believe in yourself. Believe in God first, but then believe in you. You know, believing in yourself doesn't necessarily mean you're going to succeed, but not believing in yourself is a guarantee you will fail. Yeah. Does that make sense? Yeah. So it's a start. And the reason is you have to believe, as a Christian, as a believer, to believe in yourself is to believe what God has done in you, to believe that you are more than a conqueror through him that loved you, to believe that you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you, to believe that greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. To believe in yourself is to believe that you are a new creature in Christ Jesus, and if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away, all things have become new. To believe in yourself as a Christian is actually to believe in what God has done in you and to give him the credit and give him the glory. To believe that you can do this in the name of Jesus. By his grace, by his power, in his name, the name of Jesus, by the word of God, hallelujah, we can do this. Amen. See, that's believing in yourself. That's not believing in yourself without God. That's believing yourself with God in the equation. In other words, I can do this through Christ. I can. Not you, not somebody else. I can. I can do all things through Christ. Everybody say, I can.
I can.
Do all things.
Through Christ
who strengthens me. See, that's the right attitude, and that's giving the glory where the glory is due. That's putting the glory on God, but that's also believing that you can do it. If God says you can do it, you can do it. How many of you believe in God? Amen. Well, yeah, I believe in God. How many of you believe his word? Yes. Okay, so if his word, we find in his word where he says you can do it, then you can do it. Now, that's believing in yourself. That's what we're talking about. We're not talking about believing in you without God or outside of God's word or outside of his principles or outside of his power, his strength, and his help. We're talking about believing in yourself with his help, with him in you, and he is in you. Amen? Amen. So with that in mind, Deuteronomy, the 15th chapter, I want to go over this subject of borrowing and cosigning out of the Bible. doesn't that just sound spiritual? I mean, I know you just want to shout. That's just so exciting. But I would submit to you, and I've said this over and over, that anything in the Bible is spiritual. If it's in the Bible, it's spiritual. I mean, if God says forgive, well, you need to forgive. Amen? I mean, that's spiritual to forgive. But here in Deuteronomy, I tell you what, turn to Deuteronomy 28. 28 first. Let's turn there and then we'll go back to 15. I want to bring out a verse there because we often quote this verse. Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy means just second giving. Deuteros is the second. Nomos is the law, to give the law the second time. In other words, you have in Leviticus the laws, and then you have in Deuteronomy the second giving of the law. Deuteronomy, I'm telling you, is filled with promises. It's filled with a carrot on the stick, as it were. God says, do this and I'll bless you. Do this and I'll bless you. God never asks you to do anything without wanting to bless you. God's original intent on everything that he asks us to do is our best interest. He always has our best interest in mind. Amen? So if you'll do this, he'll bless you. Bottom line. Woo! Now, if God says something about borrowing cosine and he tells us to do something in particular, then he will bless us if we do that. If he talks about budgeting and saving, oh, man, I just love to hear that word. Everybody loves budgeting. And we do that, then he'll bless us. These are not man's principles. These are God's principles. This is not man's plan. This is God's financial plan. Amen? Hallelujah. And notice what it says in the 28th chapter. Yep. After it lists all those blessings, Deuteronomy 1st, 28th chapter, first verse says, if we hearken diligently to the voice of the Lord our God, do that which is right in his sight, and keep his commandments which he commands us this day, the Lord will set us on high above all nations of the earth. Then it says all these blessings will come on us and they will overtake us. And it lists all these blessings coming in and going out in the storehouse, in the field, fruit of our body, fruit of our kind, so on and so forth. And then it says in the 12th verse, the Lord shall open unto thee his good treasure, the heaven to give rain into thy land in its season. Y'all see that? And to bless all the work of your hand. Everybody say work of your hand. Somehow we miss that. I don't know how that is. But he blesses the work of our hand. And he says, you shall lend unto many nations and shall not borrow. Now, that's pretty plain, but let's get something to keep something in mind here. That is the blessing of God. That's not a command to not borrow. It's not a sin to borrow. It's not God's best. I think sometimes it makes good sense to borrow. In fact, if you're renting a house or you're buying a house, well, borrowing money and paying on a house is much better than just renting a house. Sometimes you can't do anything but rent a house when you first get started, but you ought to believe God to buy a house. Then you ought to believe God to get it paid off. Hello. I mean, sometimes that makes sense. I know when we built, we didn't have a building. We were renting downtown when we first started the church, and it just didn't make any sense to continue to pay that rent for years. We did for three and a half years, I think we were there. And we finally bought land, and we finally built a building. We did borrow the money to build the building. Now, you know, we decided we're not going back in debt again, but, you know, at the time, that was the right thing to do because we were paying rent, which we're not getting anything out of the rent. Month in, a month in, a year out, for 3 years, 3.5 years, we got nothing from that. And all we're doing is building up capital in the sense of getting people together and money was coming in. Then we built a building and started paying a payment. Now, if that makes sense. I mean, when you're borrowing money for something that you would have to pay for anyway and not have any money, then that would make sense. But the goal should always be to get out of debt. God's best is to not borrow. But notice in that same blessing, he says this. He said, thou shalt lend unto many nations, but thou shalt not borrow. Now, let me ask you something. If it's a sin to borrow, then why would God tell us to lend? I mean, that ain't make any sense at all, does it? So if it were a sin to borrow, then God would never tell you to lend because you're putting someone in sin when you lend to them. What God's saying here and what this chapter is about is the blessing of God, God's best. He's not saying it's a sin to borrow. He's just saying it's a whole lot better to lend than to borrow. It's God's best for you to be out of debt. Amen? But then he tells you to lend and not borrow, so it couldn't be a sin, or you'd be putting someone in sin to do that. Now turn back to Deuteronomy 15th chapter. Get back to that verse. In Deuteronomy 15, 6th verse, Deuteronomy 15, verse 6, says, for the Lord thy God blesseth thee. Aren't you glad? Hallelujah, somebody. Yeah. I believe God blesses me. We heard some, you know, testimonies to that effect already. Today, God is in the blessing business. For the Lord thy God blesseth thee, and he promised you that you shall lend, again, unto many nations, and thou shalt not borrow. And you shall reign over many nations, but they shall not reign over you. It's interesting the way he puts that together. Lending, reigning, borrowing, serving. In other words, you're a servant. And Proverbs does talk about that. You're in servitude when you're borrowing. You're in a position of power, I guess, when you're lending. It's better to lend than it is to borrow. Wouldn't you agree? Okay. But lending is not a sin because, I mean, he tells you to lend. So that obviously borrowing is not a sin either because he wouldn't tell you to lend if borrowing was a sin. Can you imagine God tell you to put somebody into sin? Makes no sense, does it? Seventh verse. If there be among you a poor man of one of thy brethren within any of your gates in your land which the Lord thy God gives you, you shall not harden your heart, but you shall nor shut your hand to your poor brother, eighth verse, but you shall open your hand wide unto him, and you shall surely lend him sufficient for his need in that which he wanteth. So we should be in a position to help people that are in trouble, to lend them even when they pay back, so it's assumed they're going to pay back, to lend people money. And there again, if it were a sin to borrow, then it would be a sin for them to come to you and ask for the money. And if it were a sin to borrow, it'd be a sin for you to lend them the money. Y'all out there. Boy, y'all are excited this morning, aren't you? I really want to set you free because if I went and surveyed the crowd, I'm sure most of us have some debt. That's not a sin, depending on where it is. If it's in your house, if it's just huge amount of debts on your credit card, you need to get on your knees and pray about that. You need to go back to that one about budgeting and saving, amen, and start looking in the scripture and what it says about that. And here we got Christmas coming up. Listen, this is not the time to go in debt. It's a time to celebrate our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. It's a time, of course, we give gifts to one another. But, you know, it's not about giving each other a house or a car or giving every kid a four-wheeler when you have to go in debt and pay for it the rest of your life. Come on. Give them a card and say you love them and start there and see how they react. Find out if they're naughty or nice. Give something practical. What about that? There's a new concept, you know, something practical like clothes. And, you know, that's always when you know you've been a bad boy, you know, when you get clothes. Oh, wow, I must have been a bad boy, I got clothes. No, actually, some of our kids love clothes. You know, why would you like, think about this when you have 18 grandchildren like we do. Give her one of them a four-wheeler? I don't think so. That's not going to happen. I love them, don't get me wrong, but 18 four-wheelers? Yeah, we'll be taking an offer next week for the pastor, that's for sure, trying to get that paid off. That's not what Christmas is about anyway. Christmas is about Jesus. It's about celebrating the birth of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We're excited about that. We give gifts to each other, and that's wonderful. But don't buy the lie. This is a tradition sometimes been perverted, and I mean, the world thinks you got to go in debt, and you got to buy all these high-priced, high-dollar things for everybody. Listen, that doesn't prove your love. Your love's proven all year long. Your love's proven day in and day out with hugs and kisses and prayers and support and feeding and clothing. Amen. And living for God and living holy. And of course, this time of year, if you want to give a gift, that's fine. But you're not under pressure to do that. Think about what God says. If you have to go borrow a bunch of money to buy Christmas gifts. In fact, he says about lending, when a person that has a need, someone that really needs something. And I believe that makes sense in borrowing. If you need a house, obviously, and you're renting, then it would make sense to borrow that money because you're paying a payment instead of just paying rent. You're putting money on something that will be yours one day that actually has value that when you get through with it, you could sell it and make money. You can't do that with rent. Now, if you're renting, I'm not condemning you because we've all been there. Anybody ever rented? Okay, come on, we've all done it. You just do what you got to do. You start where you are, but don't stay there. So if you're out here and you're in the position that I'm talking about here, don't be condemned. Hey, take heart. Get excited. Say, hey, I'm going to go to the next step. I may be there right now, but I can see in God's word I'm not supposed to stay here. I'm going to go to the next level. Hallelujah. Oh, amen, somebody. I think I'll just shout myself. Think about the word debt. Debt's just a definition of the term. The word debt means, if you just look it up and, you know, in the dictionary, it means answerable for, in embarrassed circumstances, liable, chargeable, in difficulties, unrewarded, deeply involved, minus, owing, in hock, up against it, encumbered, plunged into debt or insolvent. Well, that'll make you want to go out and run up those credit cards, wouldn't it? Well, that's why God didn't want you to be that way. You know, I mentioned the church, we borrowed money to build the building. And you know what? We had a tough time with it too, because we had people move away and everything in the world happened. And we moved in with more people than we maintained in the first few years. And you know what? They kept sending us this bill every month. I thought when the crowd went down, the offers went down, maybe the bills would go down. No, they stayed the same. So we had trouble getting the payments made. In fact, we made 9 late payments in 1 year. We made them. We honored it, but we paid late payments, just paying it. We did everything we could. I went to work. I remember going to work and, you know, feeding the kids, because that's my number one obligation after God was my family. And I got off Wednesdays and got off Sundays, so I'd be here and still be here to pastor the church. But those were some tough years. Some of y'all were here and you remember that. But we were committed to do what God said to do. We made a commitment. We put our word on the line. We said we're going to pay payments. We're going to pay them. And even when we had to do it late, we did it. But we kept believing and kept praying and kept believing to get it done. And, you know, eventually we got everything paid off early. We wind up paying everything off several years early and saved thousands of dollars of interest because we started paying extra on it. In fact, I remember getting a phone call one time from a pastor in town, a good friend of mine. And he called, and they were looking for a building at the time, and evidently the rumor mill had got going. You know, small towns aren't much to see, but what you hear makes up for it. And this pastor actually called me and wanted to know if we would be willing to sell our building, which we were in. It wasn't like we had anywhere else to go. I mean, you know, what were we going to do, go out on the street and let y'all buy our building, you know? And it was a friend of mine. I said, no, we're not going to sell our building. Well, I just heard y'all having some trouble. Well, yeah, that's good. It's wonderful when a bank talks about you. Isn't that wonderful? When your own bank, hometown bank, does that. And I said, you know what? I said it by the Holy Ghost. I know I said it by the Holy Ghost. I said, you know what? I wasn't mad at the person. I understood where they were. They were looking for a building. I said, no, we're not getting ready to sell our building. In fact, we're going to pay our building off early. And at the time, it didn't look that way. But we actually paid it off years early because we started putting extra money on the debt. In fact, you can do the same thing in your home. You can do the same thing with your loans, if you have other loans. Don't just make the payment. Are you kidding? Make the payment and put something extra on it. And when you put something extra over your payment, it goes straight to the principal. It doesn't even go to the interest. So that's what we did with the V money that you see us take every week. We did that for years. At the end of the month, whatever was there, we would make our payment, and then we put that on extra on the loan, and we begin to chisel down that payment, and we paid it off several years early and save thousands of dollars of interest doing it that way. But when we got out of debt, we decided to stay out of debt. Amen? Amen. And that was 1997. We paid our building off. So here we are 14, 17 years, going on 18 years later, and we're still out of debt. Hallelujah. And since then, just to show you that it can work and it can be done, that this is not just something in the Bible. It is a principle, there's no question it says that, but we are living proof and testimony to this fact. Every bit of concrete you see poured out here, we pay cash on. That gymnasium you see in the state that it's in, the stage it's in, we pay cash on. That warehouse behind us that you see in the state that it's in right now, we pay cash on. The 40 acres that we have accumulated since this, we pay cash on. Amen. The $100,000 a year that we have given to missions, we didn't borrow any of that money. We gave to missions. We just gave to missions. Amen. Are you with me? Amen. Think about it. Hallelujah. Think about it. Over $1 million since that time, almost close to $1.5 million of missions we've given. So it can be done. We know it can be done. We know you don't have to build your life and base your life on debt. You can. There are essentially times when you should do that, but you need to get out of debt and stay out of debt when you get there. Amen? Amen. Woo. That's good stuff. Amen. Hey, turn to Proverbs 22, if you would. Just go through a few verses here in Proverbs. Proverbs 22. Some of these are pretty strong when you think about it. Proverbs 22, notice what it says in verse 7. It says, the rich rules over the poor, and the borrower is servant to the lender. You know, as long as you have a debt, you serve that institution, or you serve that person that you're in debt to. In other words, you owe them that money every month. And that's sometimes that's not a bad thing as opposed to rent, but you want to get the place where you don't owe anybody anything but to love them. Romans 13, verse 8, if you want to write that down somewhere. Romans 13, 8 says, owe no man anything but to love them. We do owe the debt of love, and we never will pay that one up. Amen? We'll always owe that. But we want to get to the point where we owe no man nothing but to love them. So, hey, pray over your finances. Pray. I mean, you may be over your head in debt. I don't know. Your credit cards may be maxed out. I mean, you may owe on your car and your house and your kids and, you know, and whether you just had them or whether you're still paying college, I don't know. You know, I mean, we live in a society where it is easy to get in debt. It is so easy to go in debt. Not so easy to get out. Hello, but it's real easy to get in. I mean, you got more deals going on about no interest loans and come get it and get it now. And my goodness. Now, we do like those no interest loans. Incidentally, we bought every appliance I think we bought in the last 15, 20 years, we bought on a no interest 18 month or whatever, but we make sure we pay it off before, okay, before the 18 month. Because what happens is if you don't, all that interest you got to pay that you should have paid all that 18 months, all of a sudden you owe every bit of it at the end of the 18 months or the year or 2 years or whatever it is. But, you know, there again, if you have the money, that would make sense to do that. It makes perfect sense to me. If I have the money to buy something to go down and buy it with no interest for years, I got my money to bank the whole time making me interest. As long as I have the money and I'm going to pay it off. Does that make sense? But the trap is a lot of us get pulled into that and we're not able to pay it. And they know that. They're not doing that because most of us pay. They're doing that because there's a whole lot of us that don't pay it off before. I mean, you don't understand how banks work. They work off your money. That's what they do. You put all your money in there and they loan it all out. And if everyone else went down to the bank right now and tried to withdraw all of our money, it wouldn't be there. Seriously, it's not there. If everybody at the bank went down with their checking account and just right now just went down there and says, I want to empty my checking account, it's not there. It's loaned out. If we all did that, now if you can go down and do it yourself and get away with it, but if you told somebody else and somebody else told somebody else and you were in a small town and everybody showed up, because small towns it gets around, it would take a few days for everybody to get their money. And if you don't believe that, just read your newspapers. This happened many a times where banks have had a run, you know, and people have gone down to get their money. They can't get their money because it's all loaned out. So the world works on a borrowed system where we're borrowing money and lending money and so on and so forth. We need to get out of that system, amen? Amen. As quick as we can, hallelujah. Well, if you have your Bibles, turn with me to another subject, Proverbs 6. Is this helping anybody? Amen. Keep this in mind the whole time we're doing this too and teaching this. This is just Bible. That's all we're talking about. This is not, this is not something unspiritual. I think a lot of us are not able to do a lot of things for God because we hadn't obeyed these principles. Many times we can't go on a mission trip because we can't even pay our bills. Are you with me? And we start churches and they fail because we have such a bad reputation. We hadn't paid our bills and the bank winds up getting our building. You know, I think it's a tragedy that a church has a building repossessed. And yet that happens. Did you know that does happen in churches? It's just not handling the money right. I always get tickled when churches build something. And then they have all these committees, and everybody gets together, and they decide they want a building, you know, like 80 by 100, and they go out and pour a slab 80 by 100. And then they come back, and they say, where do you want the bathrooms? And they go, oh, I don't know. We didn't put any pipes in the slab. Are you with me? They don't think. You know, we just sometimes we think just because it's spiritual, we don't have to use our brain. You know, the Bible says not to think of yourself too highly. It didn't say don't think. And sometimes churches are the worst, you know, about, well, we're just doing this for God. It'll work out. Let's just go do it, you know, and not think it through. And sometimes we get to thinking all we need is a pulpit and a Bible. That's all we need, pulpit and a Bible. That's it. You give me a pulpit, you give me a Bible, we got a church. That's it. But there's a lot of things going on in a church. I mean, you have to pay bills. You have to, are you with me? And finances many times get churches because we don't consider what God says about finances. We know what he says about getting saved. We know what he says about getting filled with the Holy Ghost. We know what he says about the gifts of the Spirit. We know what he says about prayer and forgiveness. But we don't always know what he says about finances. And yet he talks all about finances. He talks about borrowing and co-signing. He talks about budgeting and saving. He talks about investing. And he talks about tithes and offerings. That's the two things we generally do know. But if we'd follow these principles, see, it's no mistake, or it's no coincidence that we often make fun of the Jewish nation because they turn out to be the bankers and the investors and have all the money. And we talk about Jewing people down. We use those terms. But the reason they prospered so much is because they followed the scripture concerning money matters. That's why they prospered. They just took those principles as God's word. Hello. Because it is. And they lived their life that way. And they built businesses and they made money. Hello. And then everybody talked about them being greedy. They weren't greedy. They were just following the principles of God's word, and God was blessing them, just like he'll bless you if you follow those same principles. Amen?
Amen.
Co-signing. Boy, that's a good one. I love that. You excited about this, co-signing?
Yeah.
Proverbs 6, verse 1. Notice what it says. My son, if you be surety. Everybody say surety. Surety just means to co-sign for someone. Co-sign is real simple. It's when, like, Joe goes down to the bank, and the bank says, Joe, I don't think you're going to be able to pay this off. If you get Farmer Brown over here, Farmer Brown, if you'll sign on Joe's note, then we'll loan Joe the money. In essence, that's really not loaning Joe the money. That's loaning Farmer Brown the money. In fact, I heard a story about Farmer Brown that said, told Joe when Joe came back from the bank, and Joe told Farmer Brown, says, Farmer Brown, the bank says they would loan me this money if you'd co-sign it. And Farmer Brown told Joe, says, Joe, you go back to the bank, you tell them that if they'll sign it, I'll loan you the money. Now, what we need to understand about co-sign is real simple. Co-sign just means you're guaranteeing the debt. You're guaranteeing the debt. And most co-signers do pay off. They have to pay for it. You may think you're helping a friend or helping someone when you co-sign, but really the bank, who does this every day, okay, loan institutions that loan money every day, believe in their, because they know what they're doing, they do this every day, they believe after interviewing this person that they will not pay the debt. That's why they need a co-signer. Now, if you in your wisdom know more than the bank does, who does this every day, and you want to co-sign it, then go right ahead. Are you? Is it making sense? Now, I believe with your kids, it's another thing. If you want to help your kids out, that's fine. Because most of the time, he's talking about a stranger or someone that's not family is what he's talking about here. But notice what it says. If you are a surety for a friend, if you have stricken your hand with a stranger, if you've done that and you've co-signed for them, you are snared with the words of your mouth. Is that what it says? It says you are taken with the words of your mouth. Now that's Bible. That's not me telling you I'm not going to co-sign for you. That's God telling me not to co-sign for you. So don't ask me to co-sign for you. I'm not going to do it. I've actually had people ask me, and I just pulled a scripture out and I said, can't do it. Really? I said, can't do that. No. That scripture said, don't do it, don't do it. Has anybody ever co-signed and wind up paying? Y'all don't need a show of hands. Has anyone had someone co-sign and they had to pay? Did you know over 50 to 75% on average co-signers have to pay? And that's the whole principle of the thing. If someone needs a co-signer, then the people loaning the money do not believe that that person can pay. So they find someone else that can. So you sign on the note, they make their payments. The first time they miss a payment, they call you. The bank calls you. And if they keep missing the payment, the credit score goes on your account because you're liable for that. Now, if you're trying to help your children get started, you know, and sure, they don't have any credit, that's your family, I think that's okay. You're willing to pay it. You're willing to, you know, Dave's going, no. I mean, if you're willing to do that and you have the money, stay with me, and you have the money to do that, and that's your choice, your prerogative. I'm not saying do it. I'm saying if you're willing to do that. And, you know, it may be a case that it's not a good idea. You know your kids, don't you? Okay. There may be someone you'd say, no, son, we're not going to be doing that. But it goes on and says, thou art snared with the words of your mouth. Thou art taken with the words of your mouth. God's trying to help us here, finances. I mean, if you want to get healed, you want to look up scriptures on healing, don't you?
Yes.
Okay, if you got someone you need to forgive, you need to look up scriptures on forgiveness. If you're looking up scriptures on prayer, you need to pray. You go scriptures on that. Listen, if you have a financial need, you know what you need to do? You need to look up scriptures on finances. And you need to be honest about this. You need to lay all your finances out before God, not just the need you have, but the reason you got in the need. We probably didn't get into debt overnight. We're probably not going to get out overnight. but we can change our behavior. And if we change our behavior, we can finally get out of debt. You can't talk yourself out of something you behaved yourself into. Make sense? Okay, so God's trying to help us change our behavior. He's trying to help us. And you know, you can put these scriptures up and say, hey, I can do this. This is what God said to do. God's going to help me do this. I'm going to obey God. I haven't done right with my finances. I hadn't been doing what God says to do here, but I'm going to start doing this. God, help me do this. And I'm believing, I'm trusting you to help me, Father. Your word says thus and so. Goes on and says, do this now, my son, third verse. Deliver yourself. Now think about it. He's talking about having cosigned. And he's saying, you need to get delivered from this. Deliver yourself when you are come to the hand of your friend. Humble yourself and make sure your friend, you better just stay with him until you get this thing paid off, okay? You sure don't want to make him mad and leave you with a debt. Give not sleep to your eyes nor slumber to your eyelids. Deliver yourself as a roe from the hand of a deer from the hand of the hunter, as a bird from the hand of the fowler. Wow. Pretty strong stuff, amen? And that's all, he's just talking about cosigning. Look at Proverbs 11. Oh my. Proverbs 11. I'm just trying to help you. I'm just trying to help you. I've been here, been there, done it myself, got the t-shirt, sold the t-shirt, tried to make some money off the t-shirt. Notice what it says in the 15th verse. He that cosigns for a stranger shall smart for it. He that hateth cosigning is sure. Wow. That's pretty strong, isn't it? That's part of our society. It's part of our system. We live in a system where people borrow money and people cosign and so on and so forth. You know, as a Christian, just don't do it. Does that make sense? Don't do it. I mean, unless you've got the money in hand to pay the thing off and you want to help somebody out and you have the money and you're willing to pay it off and you're not going to get mad when they don't make it good. That would be different. But you need to understand that the chances are if you're signing that, you are going to pay for it. And we've got scripture here. You can actually pull scripture out on somebody and show it to them and say, here it is. Under Almighty God, I cannot co-sign for you. Thus says the Lord. Turn with me to Proverbs 17. Oh, it gets better. That's pretty stout stuff, isn't it? Notice what Proverbs 17 says. I love this in the King James Version. Proverbs 17, verse 18 says, a man void of understanding strikes hands and cosigns in the presence of his friend. couldn't be much plainer than that, could it? And in Proverbs 22, this will be the last one, Proverbs 22. How many of you didn't realize all this is in here? Think about it. We think of finances in terms of tithing and giving. Well, that's part of it. That's the money we give to God. But the money we keep, God has a lot to say about the money that we keep. And we don't always spend much time looking at that. You know, we'd rather just talk about tithing and giving. And then whatever we keep is our business. Well, no, whatever we keep is God's business. I'm a Christian 24/7, amen? Not just half the time. Proverbs 22, notice what it says in the 26th verse. Be not one of them that strike hands or of them that are cosigners for debts. Wow. Calls it a snare. He says we're void of understanding. He tells us not to be one of those that cosign. I think that's pretty plain, isn't it? Now, as far as lending, that's another story altogether. He tells us to lend to someone in need if we're able to, and we trust them in that respect. As far as borrowing, well, borrowing makes sense when it's something that you have to, you know, pay rent for, as it were. But it's it's not a sin to borrow if you're in need. Are you with me? But you want to get out of debt. Everybody say out of debt. Okay. See, I'm a Christian. You're a Christian. We ought to have good report of those that are outside the church. There's a lot of people outside the church that you never have any dealings with except with money. Sometimes people have a hard time listening to Christians and going to church because church people sometimes are not paying their debt, and they're not reliable and not trustworthy. Pastors sometimes can fall in that category. Well, it'd be hard for me to witness to somebody, minister to somebody that I owe money to and I hadn't paid the money that I borrowed, because my word's on the line. In other words, I've given my word that I would do this and so. And I've been in debt, and I've had trouble. I've worked and worked, tried to pay. I've paid late payments. So I'm not saying that's never happened to me. I've been in that position. But I've always held a position that God's word's still true, and he wants me to get out of this, and I've never give up hope, and I just keep working toward that goal. Don't ever throw the towel in. Don't ever give up if you're up against it, as it were. Now next week, I'm not going to get into it. I'm going to quit early today. I want to get into what the Bible says about investing and saving. And if you don't think you need to invest, if you don't think you need retirement, then you must be believing to die young. Because as you get older, you'll wish you had paid attention to what the Bible says about investing, about saving. Because the clock is ticking and the train is coming down the track, okay? And the years just keep rocking on. And one day you're going to wake up and you're going to think, man, how much longer can I work? Are you with me? Can I work in my 80s and 90s? Am I going to be 100 years old and still working? No, that's probably not going to happen. You're going to have to at some point what they call retire, you know, retirement. And to do that, it takes money to retire. Did you know they people that retire still have to pay bills? That doesn't even seem fair, does it? I've noticed that they eat, too. They have to have food and clothes and cars and all those things. And property taxes. I love that one. I hate to end on such a negative note there, but you think you own your land? Don't pay taxes on it for a few years and see who owns that land. Don't pay your taxes. They will come get your land, and they will auction it off, and you cannot stop them. There's nothing in the world you can do about it. You might have your land completely paid off. But if you don't pay your taxes, oh, glory. But the good news is the Bible says pay taxes. It says honor those, give honor where honor is due, tribute or taxes where taxes is due. So if God says pay taxes, we can pay taxes. We can do it. Yeah. Hallelujah. With the help of God, in the name of Jesus, I can get my taxes paid. Okay, stand up before I get you in more trouble. Hallelujah.